Oh.
You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. I don't even know what episode this is. Finally, we're getting stuff back uploaded. As I explain, oh, this is Features Editor John Gentile, and I am here with and more and more. What's happening? What's going on?
Lots of cool stuff, lots of interviews and written things, and my brain feels a bit like soup right now, but that's all part of the game, baby, and I love it.
And well, that's what I'm talking about. And Moore's been cranking out the interviews lately. She did an interview with Upchuck. She did an interview with
Yeah.
Taking Back Sunday. And I believe that posted about 20 minutes after I was talking smack on Taking Back Sunday. I can't remember why
Yeah.
M Moore and I were talking about Taking Back Sunday. I'm like, I've never even heard of Taking Back Sunday's song. I don't care about Taking
Yeah.
Back Sunday. Apparently, it's like M's favorite band. So, well, what
No,
can
I
you do?
like them.
She interviewed Mega Infinity. I mean, M Moore has just been
Yeah.
cranking them out. She's got one coming up tomorrow.
Yes.
Anyways, is there's about an A episode backlog, and it's all my fault, but it's also because, well, it's my fault, but it's not my fault. It's not like I'm sitting around watching, like, I don't know, old Simpson reruns or stuff. I'm a busy guy, people. I'm a busy guy. So instead of like letting the backlog just increase and increase and increase, which is a real dangerous thing, is we're doing what I'm calling freestyle episodes for the next few weeks. Whereas we're
Oh,
not going to
yeah.
play music. We're going to talk about news a little bit, but we're also just going to kind of rap. And that way, I can just throw up the episodes as soon as we're done recording. And then not next week, but the week after, I will finally be able to get back to editing, and hopefully we'll be caught up in about 2 or 3 weeks. And you say, John, well, why can't you edit this week? Well, because I'm going to Vegas, baby. I'm going to Vegas to see the dwarf. I'm flying out Saturday to see the Dwarves and DFL and the Co-Defendants. And I am curious to see if Fat Mike shows up. As I've said umpteen times, I don't need to keep saying it, but I keep doing is I'm not a Fat Mike. I'm a fan of Fat Mike, the art, in that he's doing interesting stuff. It's just never stuff that I really care about. But I like Fat Mike, the art piece. I think it's very interesting. So maybe that's the most important thing. But anyways, I'm super psyched. The Dwarves are just about to release their fantastic new album, The Dwarves Concept Record, which of course I did the two special covers, and they're sold out, so you can't buy one.
Woo.
Sorry. But if you go to a Dwarf show, there might be something else on the merch table that you can't get anywhere else. So maybe you should go there. Anyways, but the album is, but who cares about special covers? Because the new album is absolutely fantastic. It's broad, it's bright, it's unique in the Dwarves discography. Also, DFL is going to be there. DFL pretty recently, about actually only like a month and a half ago, re-released My Crazy Life, their seminal album with Ad Rock and the Beastie Boys. It's killer. The B-side is a live album, and I did the oral history on that reissue. Anyways, so Dwarves, DFL, I'm super psyched in Vegas. Plus, I'm going to go to the Punk Rock Museum. I think Monkey, I think I'm going to be able to make it in time for Monkey of the Addicts doing a guided tour, which will be interesting because I shouldn't even say this publicly. I kind of dislike Monkey of the Addicts, and I shouldn't say this, and but I'm very pro World Inferno, and World Inferno and the Addicts had a beef. Although I don't think Monkey was the main instigator in the beef, to tell you. And maybe World Inferno was the main instigator, actually. I'm not even sure. So at any rate, and also I told the story maybe once or twice, but I'm going to tell it again. And I really should. It probably is poor form. I shouldn't be talking smack, but I am. The first time I went and saw, no, the second time I went and saw the Misfits. Yes, it was the second time they were playing Sayersville, New Jersey, which is a club in the middle of Nowheresville, in the middle of Nowheresville, in the middle of Nowheresville. I mean, it is woof. It is no matter where you live, even if you live down the street, it's still an hour and a half drive to, or more. I mean, it is the middle of nowhere. The club sucks. But the actual tour was kind of cool. It was the quote new Misfits, which was Jerry Only, Dez, and I believe Marky. I'm pretty sure it was Marky. It was that before them, the Addicts, before them, the Dickies, before them, the UK Subs, and before UK Subs, somebody else. And at that time, I don't think I really understood like true Misfits and new Misfits. To me, it was just the Misfits who I didn't know a whole lot about and I was psyched to see. And
Yeah.
no, that was the first time I saw the Misfits. It was the first time because it was the first time because I'd never seen the Misfits before. But I and then I saw the Misfits again at Penn State. Hey, you're like, no, might have been the second time I saw them. But so anyway, here's why the story's kind of interesting: is UK Subs came out and they were so awesome. Dickies came out, they were cool. Not exactly my cup of tea, but they were cool. The Addicts come out, and I didn't even really know a whole lot about the Addicts. I mean, I'd seen people with the back patch, and maybe I heard Joker in the pack. And they come out, and he's like, "I'm just the Joker in the pack." and he's like doing magic, you know, and the addicts doing magic isn't really magic. It's just them like throwing confetti into the audience or like blasting out a confetti gun, you know. It's not really magic. It's just kind of, I don't know,
spectacle.
Spectacle. And so anyways, so you know, for the, so they do like Joker in the Pack and they do Chinese Takeaway. I'm like, oh wow, magic, high energy pop punk, hooray. And they do another song and they do another song and they do another song and they're doing magic like all song, every song, and they go on. If it was like 20 minutes, I'm like, that was really cool. They played for like an hour. I'm like, oh my god, enough with the magic already. You know, and like every song's kind of the same, and every song has magic, and I'm like, oh, you know. And then the Misfits come out, and they're like, we're running really behind, so we're not going to do our big intro, and we're just going to play. And the Misfits only played for like 20 minutes because the Addicts had to play for like an hour and a half. And I was really annoyed at the Addicts for costing me seeing the – I mean, I drove like 2 hours to see the Misfits, and I got like 20 minutes of them because the Addicts had to do their 19th magic trick. So I've always had a beef against the Addicts for that, and because of the World Inferno debacle. So we'll see how that goes. So anyway, I'm going to the Punk Rock Museum. And speaking of real magic, I'm going to see David Copperfield then. So
oh, wow. We'll see how that goes. Do you think Monkey will be doing magic on the guided tour?
I hope not. I hope not. I really hope not.
David Copperfield would be cool.
Yeah. Apparently, it's they're even billing it as like his greatest hits tour, and I'm not even exactly sure how Magic has greatest hits. But listen, man, it's Vegas, David Copperfield. You can't go wrong, you know. I'll be staying at El Cortez, and I love El Cortez. Then I'm going to go to Zia Records. And I'm going to go to that really good taqueria up the street on Fremont Street from El Cortez, and it's going to be a rad time. So I'll report back when I get back. So and more, what's happening with you aside from one other thing is just today I did an interview with Al Burreal of SSD. SSD is re-releasing their first album on Trust Records. I believe it's November 17. I've been a little down on myself interview wise because I felt like my most recent interviews haven't been that pop, and I feel my profile pieces have been very good, and I've got two in the hopper that I really need to wrap up. But I feel as though my interviews, my Q&A special interviews, maybe have been good but not great. And really, it's not even due to me, but this Al Burreal interview, he gets into some really heavy stuff and some really, really interesting introspective stuff. And so you really learn about who Al of SSD is. And he might not exactly be the person people think he is. And I don't mean that in a negative or a positive way. I just mean he's not exactly who I thought he was going to be. I mean, it was one of these interviews where, I mean, honestly, I didn't know a ton about SSD. I know for a lot of people, SSD is the band. And I like SSD, but I didn't know and it was just one of these interviews where, frankly, I actually didn't even do that much research. And I just kind of winged it, and it came out really good. And Al was really open, and he talked about some really, really moving things. And so I'm just going to post that right after this episode. So if you're into SSD at all, or straight edge, or hardcore, check it out. Because I mean, I was a real interesting guy. So that's going to be posted right after this. And more, before we get into the news, anything happening with you, anything going on, anything you want the listeners to know about?
Ooh.
Did you have any fun for Halloween?
I dressed up to take, like, pictures, because that's my favorite part of Halloween, is, like, you get to dress up, you get to have fun, you get to do all this kind of stuff. So I was I tried to do a 50s housewife, but I don't think that really turned out that well. Who reads from the Necronomicon and kind of becomes a deadite. So that was my vibe from Evil Dead. So that was really fun to do. I used a eyeshadow brush for the first time ever, like a proper eyeshadow brush. Holy shit, those things are nice. Like, oh my god, because you know, you get a little thing in the pack that one side's a sponge and the other side's like a little brush, and I'd either use my fingers or I use that, and I used the one side so much it disintegrated. So I finally like bought like a $15 one or $10 one or however much it was under $20 anyways, and life-changing, I'm telling you, it was so nice. But did that, and that was cool. And yeah, I got ready to hand out treats, and there weren't a lot of kids, there were a couple. There was one kid who was wearing a hazmat suit. That kid won because he had like a little poker and he had a mask, and it was just like awesome. It was like modern day like plague doctor. Loved it. I gave him extra because he was the best. But we didn't have overly many, which was good. So now have lots of treats to hoard and eat into the long winter. So that's always exciting. I did want to see if I could go out and just see if I could like go to houses and stuff because it was really cold. So it's like you just kind of bundle up and no one can tell. And I'm 5'2", so I thought maybe I could get away with it, but I didn't do that. I really want to see, but not this year. Did you do anything fun for
Lit.
Halloween?
No, I just did work, handed out candy, and that's what I did. I'm
Yeah.
flying to Vegas for Halloween. That's what I'm doing. I'm flying to Vegas.
Hey, that's gonna be fun.
I did listen to Samhain on Samhain though. So,
Oh, you have to. Yeah. I usually get like a type of
and
negative urge, but I didn't this year, which was very strange.
I also listen to Misfits Halloween on Halloween like I do every year, and World Inferno on Halloween. And speaking of World Inferno, it is a bittersweet story, Em. World Inferno has finally released a work that is now called Valhalla Definitely. They've actually been talking about this at least a year, maybe 2 years. It's basically unfinished works of Jack Terrycloth and World Inferno. And so what they is they took some demo, or demo is not the right word, unfinished recordings from 1994, 1995, and from the period of the last two albums, and they took those pieces, and then the members of the last World Inferno band, and throughout the World Inferno history, kind of recorded underneath it to kind of make fully fleshed out works. And so the record benefits the no I'm sorry doesn't benefit the Jack Terrycloth Foundation. It benefits Rock to Recovery and O Positive Music Festival, which basically are they help musicians with addiction issues. And if you look at the contributing list, it's pretty crazy. Jack Terrycloth and Scott Hollingsworth, the two original members of World Inferno. Francis of the I guess later band, more of the later of the band, Eula of the classic era of the band, Sandra of the classic era of the band, Peter Hess of the classic era of the band, Felipe of the later era, Aaron, classic era, Raphael, later era, Rebecca, later era, Leigh Herter Coon, Jeff Young, later era, Matt Dallow, later era, Sy Keechee, and something called Little Bag of Nothing, which I don't know what that is. At any rate, so this is usually these posthumous demo albums are absolutely horrible, like the Joe Strummer ones, which is like why? But I gotta say, I actually haven't listened to the whole thing yet because I kind of want to give it its due respect, if that makes any sense. But
For
Lawyers and
sure.
Lovers, the opening track, is absolutely killer, and how great it sounds. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, Em, do you have any? It's probably poor form to say, oh, I think this sucks. I don't know if you have any insight or anything, but I dig it, and I think it's cool that we're getting some archival World Inferno stuff. But of course, it's extremely sad that Jack Terrycloth is not with us, and of all the great times I had with Jack, had he not passed away much earlier than he should have. So yeah.
Well, like this definitely does not suck. This is very cool and very important to have the archival works and very important to have them done by the surviving members of the band who like knew his vision and knew how to make the songs or like knew how to finish them properly, I guess. Is the best way to put it. So I think it's incredibly special. And I don't think they could have picked a better name. Valhalla definitely is a wonderful name for the album. And I haven't listened to it yet. I'm much the same as you. I want to set aside time and be able to listen to it and be fully like present in the listening experience instead of
Right,
just
right,
like
right,
putting it
right.
on in the background. Because that's what, you know, it deserves. And that's what a lot of music deserves too. So definitely looking forward to giving her a listen. I think it's a very cool idea. I'm glad that they did it and again made it like kept his spirit alive to kind of finish what he started.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, World Inferno is somewhat like GWAR. It's like, well, every year since Jack has passed, they've been doing Howl-O-Mass as like a tribute show,
Yeah.
and I haven't ever gone to that, and I probably won't. Not because I don't think it's cool that they're doing, but it's like, well, it's different and it's not the same, and almost by going, I feel like you're trying. I would be trying to like, oh well, World Inferno really was great, which they were, but the era is over quite sadly, and so yeah, I don't know, man, I don't know, kind of a bummer and kind of cool, like we said. Here's another thing that's
Yeah.
kind of a bummer, it's kind of cool. Madness have released a new track. It's called Baby Burglar. It is off their upcoming album, Theater. Here's a title for you:
Oh
Theater
yeah.
of the Absurd presents C'est la vie,
C'est
and
la
that's out
vie.
November 17th. C'est la vie. I don't know French. What does that mean
That's
in French? Something about life or something. What does that mean?
life.
Live the life? That's
That's
life.
life.
Do you speak
Yeah.
French, Em?
I am trying to get better at it. Yes.
C'est la vie. And so that's out November 17th via BMG, major label. The video has like the band. We're not in the band. It's just got like kind of still picture. Just kind of hanging out, looking goofy. Em, what'd you think of this track?
I really didn't mind it. I thought it was decent. It's like it's slower in tempo, but I don't know. There was just something about it that I really liked that kind of drew me into it. There wasn't like a whole bunch going on, but what was going on felt purposeful. Throughout the whole thing, I was just picturing like a newborn in a balaclava and like, a black sweater just like crawling around, just like swiping like valuables, just hiding like all the gold and everything. So I thought that was kind of fun. But I read a little bit more about it, and apparently the song was inspired by a home invasion experienced by Lee Thompson, the saxophone player. So I was like, oh my God. And Lee was just like, oh yeah. This person broke into my house, and all I could think of was, haha, that's how we used to be. I'm like, oh my God, if that happened, I would have a weapon, like that person. Yikes, no. So, not bad overall. John, Madness, thoughts?
I love Madness. I think the first two Madness records are, I mean, some of the best ska there is. Madness is definitely my favorite two-tone band for sure.
Yeah.
I thought the song was okay. It's kind of mid-tempo. It's kind of melancholy. It's like, what, Madness were the king of high energy, fun but not mindless tunes. And ever since the third album or the fourth album, especially ever since Is This Love or whatever that song is, or Our House, they're like, no, mid-tempo melodic adult rock is what we're going to do. We're not going to do fast, energetic, fun stuff or even ska anymore. Why, and why won't Madness, who were the kings of two-tone ska, why won't they do that anymore? Why, and why?
Maybe one of the tracks on the album will be a return to form.
But why can't they all be returned to forms, then? Why? Why?
Because they got burgled, and now they're like, we have to be less loud.
Well, they
I
should be
don't
more loud to scare away the burglars. I don't. I mean, I really want to see Madness. I still haven't seen. They were gonna do punk rock. Oh, and we should talk about that too. But they were gonna do punk rock bowling, and then COVID hit, so you can't blame them for that. But man, it's like, man, it's like I really want to see Madness, and I never have. And it seems like I never. Oh well, I listen to this.
You will.
I didn't get to see Dexys either, or Dave, Peter Murphy does David Bowie. So at any rate, yes. So I want Madness to come out and whip ass. And they just won't do it. They're like, no, we're just gonna do mid-tempo, slow kind of music. So take that. So yeah. Anyways, M, punk rock bowling today. They or not today. Was it yesterday or today? At any rate,
I think
they
it's today.
recently posted. They basically said punk rock bowling will be back next summer. And the rumor, and punk rock bowling didn't confirm this, but the rumor is it is going to be back in the old spot, which is right near the Golden Nugget with the nice fake grass and the tents and everything, as opposed to last year, or this year, Rob, this past year, that was in the parking lot with no cover. And apparently it was pretty rough. It was kind of a shit show. So apparently they're going to be back in the old spot, which is going to be nicer. They haven't announced any bands whatsoever. And more, would you consider going to Punk Rock Bowling? Would you consider buying a blind ticket? And who would you like to see at Punk Rock Bowling? And who do you think will be at Punk Rock Bowling? Of course, last year's Punk Rock Bowling, what was it? Like, it seemed like everyone kind of felt the same in that, like, it was all cool bands, but no bands that, like there was nothing actually, like, that special about it. I think it was Rancid, Descendants. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, Rancid, Bad Religion, and who, let me see who else it was. It was Rancid, Bad Religion. Yeah, here we go. Rancid, Bad Religion, GBH, Dropkick Murphys. So, you know.
Okay.
The Damned are there, which is cool.
Yeah, the Damned are awesome.
Nothing that really jumped out at you this past year. So, Em, who would you like to see Punk Rock Bowling? Will you go? Would you buy a blind ticket? And who do you think will be there?
Ooh. Well, I have never been to Las Vegas. So, I would go to Punk Rock Bowling just to, like, go to Las Vegas and go to a really cool event and see the museum, Punk Rock Museum, and like maybe go to a casino or two. And I think it would be really fun. So I would buy a blind ticket just for the experience, just to get in for that. And then it's just like, I'm in for whatever. I don't like, everything will be new. Everything will be exciting. Everything will be a surprise kind of thing. So that would be a fun thing to do for sure. I personally do not want to see Rancid, but I think they're going to play. I would see GBH.
Why do you hate Rancid so much, Em? Not that I'm a Rancid defender, because I don't care if you don't like Rancid. I really don't care. I mean, I like Rancid, but like, what? Like, you mentioned, why do you hate Rancid so much? I'm just curious. I'm not gonna fight on their behalf.
No.
But why, Em?
I hate is a strong word. I don't hate them. I just don't really like them. And it's like, if I could watch somebody else, I would rather watch somebody else.
Listen to somebody cheesy? Else. Is that what it is?
No, they just never clicked for me. Like, I tried listening to a couple songs. I think, really? Like, technically they're good. There was just something that didn't click with them for me, where it's just like, you know, when you listen to a band and you're like, yep, I'm listening to all your stuff. I like you. You're great. And then when you listen to other bands, you're like, I know that I should probably like you, but I am having such a block right now. I can't, you know?
Do you like Op Ivy?
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's a thing. That's why it's like, I should like Rancid, but I don't. Something just doesn't click properly for me.
In your defense, I was listening to Op Ivy yesterday. I think it was yesterday, or no, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Op Ivy really, I mean, Op Ivy doesn't sound like Rancid at all, really. You know what I mean?
No.
They definitely sound like different bands, you know.
Op Ivy rocks. If they played Punk Rock Bowling.
Op Ivy does rock.
That'd be pretty sick.
Do you think Doom Regulator will, Em? Do you think Doom Regulator will?
I think that's a fair bet. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say some of the, like, cool. Hellcat bands play.
I would actually file just to see Doom Regulator.
That would be fun.
If any Jesse Michaels band was playing, even if it was Big Rig or the Shadow Walk, the Passage Walkers, I would fly out for that, you know.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be so worth
you know,
it.
And, you know, I believe I saw the only ever Jesse Michaels solo show. He did a solo acoustic show at 924 Gailman, and he hated it. And that's why he decided to start Classics of Love, like 2007 or 2006. So,
oh, wow.
Anyways.
That's cool. So anyways, Classics of Love rock. Jesse Michaels is great. He's awesome.
Jesse Michaels is the greatest. Out of all, between Doom Regulator, Classics of Love, Passage Walkers, Op Ivy, Big Rig, and Kamen Rider, I'd prefer to see Classics of Love. But I'll settle. Quote settle. I'll settle for Doom Regulator or even Op Ivy. You know what I mean? So I'll settle for Op Ivy. Sure.
Oh, do you know what would be really cool? Because I saw last year she played a club show, but like Alice Bag at Punk Rock Bowling. That would be crazy.
That's definitely a possible bet for sure.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I will bet that it will be Flag. because we haven't seen Flag in a while, and that'd be cool to see Flag. And you know,
That's
Off has
cool.
just released their thing, and Circle Jerks are doing their thing. So it's about time for Flag. And we talked about this, I think, last week before. It is really cool that Keith Morris
Oh,
has
yeah.
three active or semi-active bands, and they all whip ass. It's like every single one is like awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll say Flag.
That's a good
I'll
one.
say Descendants because they didn't play the last Punk Rock Bowling. I'll say Doom Regulator, and I'll say, let's see. Let me pick like a left field, like somebody, it won't be the Melvins, but someone like the Melvins. I'll say like a left field pick, you know, like that's punk-ish, but
Yeah.
not, you know, not traditionally punk, if you will. You know, I think Melvins are like about as punk as it gets. Let me think. Ooh, but also sometimes they do like Jamaican legends and stuff. I'm gonna say Jamaican
That's
legend,
true.
and I would Lee Scratch Perry would have been perfect, but he's dead, R.I.P. Yellow Man. Well, no, I'll say Yellow Man, but they won't do Yellow Man. They'll pick more like a ska person. So I will say, is Desmond Dekker still alive? I think maybe no. I think he's dead. Actually, I probably should know that, but I think he's dead.
I'm not
Let's see,
sure.
Desmond Dekker. Let's see, Desmond Dekker is passed away in 2006. I'm a little bit
Oh.
behind today. Jimmy Cliff. That's what I'm gonna say. Jimmy Cliff.
Okay. That's a good one.
We'll see. So anyways,
Very
I mean,
interesting.
if the lineup is even halfway decent, I'm going to go. But I said that last year, and then I ended up booking a dwarf show instead. And I'm not sorry because the dwarf show was incredible. And so anyways, we'll see. Let's see what else we got here, M. Oh, Flying Raccoon Suit, M.
Hell
They've got
yeah.
a new track out. The track is called Sunflower. What do you think of? And what do you think of Flying Raccoon Suit? And what do you think of Sunflower?
I really like Flying Raccoon Suit. They are great and they have just a wonderful band name.
You know the reference? What
Yeah,
the
it's
reference is to?
Super Mario the Tanuki suit.
Very, very good. Very good.
Ha, you thought I didn't know.
I did think you didn't know.
This is the next question for Punk's points. Next time we play, that needs to be on the
That
board.
actually is a good. That is a good question. Like, what's the origin of the band name Flying Raccoon Suit or something?
Yeah, like band origin name, band name origins.
Yeah,
There's so many like cool ones.
that is a good category. What's a circle jerk?
Demonstrate for extra points. So they're great. I was going to go see them when they played Palooza. I had an incident where I got very turned around and I wasn't sure where I was, so I missed them, which I'm super bummed about, but hopefully I'm
Wait,
able to go.
are you saying you were drunk?
No, I got lost.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. No, I've never been to Montreal and we had a very hectic day like getting there and then getting settled and then kind of going immediately. I had no idea where anything was. I don't have like data or anything on my phone, so it's just like I took pictures of maps and they weren't like working properly. So it was really funny. We were like walking around like just completely like going in circles, no idea where we are. And then the next day we like go and we're walking like in the daylight and it's like, are you serious? We could have just kept walking. If we had have walked straight for like 5 more minutes, we would have found the street. It's just like, oh my God. So hopefully they play next year. Hopefully I'm able to go next year and actually see them. But I like the band. I'm excited for their new album, Moonflower. Their previous album was very good. And Sunflower, the video was fun because it shows like the band members like kind of going about their day and sunflowers are all around them. And sunflowers are just a really nice flower. And some of them interact with them. So it's like one of them mines gold and tosses the flower away and all this kind of stuff. I think the funniest thing was the drummer at work gets hit with a paper ball and one of like their colleagues, you know, gives them the bird. And then at home, I think one of the family members tosses a paper ball at the drummer when he's leaving and like gives him a thumbs up, but then when his back's turned, flips him off. And I thought that was really funny. The trumpet solo in this song is incredible. The horn section is wild. They are so ta Everyone in the band is very talented. But oh my God, there are a few things that sound as good as a well put together horn section, I think. I've had a very new appreciation in the past couple years for horns. So what did you think of this one?
I think the fourth wave or fifth wave ska craze, however you want to, I think it's kind of petering out a little bit. I mean, for a while, everyone was like, ska's back, ska's back, ska's great, everyone. You all used to hate ska, but ska's great, and now we're back. Hooray. And I feel like ska did the exact same thing to itself that it did in the 90s. It's like no quality control whatsoever, and yet again, it strangled itself to death. That being said, there are a few quote ska bands, new ska bands. I absolutely love
New
Catplay, of
Sky.
course, one of the greatest bands of the past decade. You know, maybe the greatest band of the past decade. Amazing, amazing, amazing band. That being said, when I listen to Catplay, they are a ska band, but I don't hear a ska band. I just hear a band or maybe a two-tone band. Like, I guess because they don't have a horn section, like Catplay doesn't come across it as third wave ska. They just come across as a great band to me with, you know, I guess some two-tone tendencies, if you will. So I think they're great. I absolutely love ska. Catplay.
Catbite rock.
Flying Raccoon Suit, by contrast, I think is a very much third wave ska band. We've got horns. We're very poppy and we sing real happy. Even if the song isn't about something happy, we're going to sing about something happy. Do 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 do. That being said, I actually think Flying Raccoon Suit exemplifies all the good elements of third wave ska or modern ska, and I think they're real cool. And I think this video is good. I think that the song is good, and I think a lot of third wave ska bands that are like third wave ska, as in their ska, could take a note or two from Flying Raccoon Suit, and that they kind of tiptoe up to the edge of high power, obnoxious ska, but they don't cross the line. Whereas other bands are like, ska, let's just blast our horns, you know, as wildly as we can without any consideration for how annoying we might actually be. Whereas Flying Raccoon Suit has a certain musicality behind it, and I just think they're better than the other bands of their ilk for sure. So I think they're pretty cool. Lar-J and Grace, and she got the key to the city of
Yeah.
Gable. What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
That rocks. That's so good. She's the first rock star to receive the key since Tom Petty. So I thought that was neat too. It very deserved. She's put out so much good music and she means so much to so many people. So it's so nice to see her get some accolade, like some honor, something like really good, you know? There's been so much really bad stuff, and it's again nice to see somebody who deserves it receiving something really, really good. And you could tell when she gave her speech, she was so emotional, and it clearly meant a lot to, it means a lot to her, I guess I should say. And just the cheers of the crowd too, and everyone, it was just such a joyful occasion, and those are so nice to see when they're genuine, and that's what this came across as. I know that Laura Jane Grace Day is only for this year, but I think that should be, you know, for made a holiday, because that's a pretty cool thing to have. You just hang out and listen to Against Me and her solo stuff and Devouring Mothers and all that. Hell yeah. So one of the things that she said in her speech too that I really, really resonated was DIY doesn't mean do it yourself. It means it'll be better if we do it together. So I thought that was really cool, because it's true, right? You think, oh, it's just me against the world. But then when you have the community behind you and you open up to them, or they open up to you, or however it works out, everyone is stronger and able to face things better. So I thought this was great, really cool. And the key looks neat. The little thing that you put into the lock is in the shape of Florida. So That's fun. Did you have thoughts on the key to the city ceremony?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna come across as controversial. I don't think Laura Jane Grace deserves it. I don't think Laura Jane Grace is the person that people think she is. I think there's many other people that deserve a key to the city more than her. And not that I think Tom Petty should have got one either. I think a lot of educators and a lot of well, educators definitely should. You know, Gainesville is historically troubled area school district wise, or not school district, school wise. It's not one school district, it's many school districts. I think lots of educators probably should have got the key to the city before Laura Jane Grace, or people that run maybe homeless shelters or those kinds of things. I don't think Laura Jane Grace has really done anything aside from make music that people buy. And I think Laura Jane Grace is one of these people that says something that sounds cool when they say it, but it doesn't really have any true substance to it, and they certainly don't, you know, stand by their statement. That being said, certainly Laura Jane Grace has written music that has resonated with many, many people. And a lot of people think Laura Jane Grace's music is important to them and has influenced them as people, which is good and certainly is admirable and impressive. I just think that Laura Jane Grace isn't the person that people think Laura Jane Grace is. Well, it would have been my choice. But listen, there's worse crimes in the world. So that's that, Em. Here's one thing we can agree on. The Sentence and Circle Jerks are going on tour together, and it's going to be rad, and I'm going to
Whoa.
go. What do you think of that, Em?
That is cool. That's going to be a good show. They have the best
I will.
mashup of mascots.
I actually think that the Sentence and Circle Jerks logo mashup is probably the best mashup logo ever, to tell you the truth.
I can't like think of any other ones right now that even come close, like the bonus cup and everything. Like, hell yeah. Looks so cool.
So there you have it. There you have it, Em, our next freestyle episode. I don't know, Em, anything else you
Woo!
want to talk about? Kind of a quick episode today.
What do you do when your brain feels like soup? How do you re-solidify it? Do you pour it into a mold and put it in the freezer? Do you just accept the soup? Do you stir the soup? Do you wonder what
I
soup
think I
is?
think I think you just get right back in the pit, Em, and start cranking out more interviews. That's what you do.
Hell
Yet
yeah.
again, Em has been single-handedly keeping the site afloat. I've been throwing in a little bit of stuff here and there, but Em's been
Yes.
doing the lion's share for sure. I'll throw in stuff tomorrow, I think.
Oh,
So yeah,
awesome.
so and I got some reviews to post tomorrow, and yeah. So I don't know, Em. What actually, Em? You know, we gotta get started on end of year lists. Holy shit, it's already
Oh,
November.
my God.
Holy shit, it's November 2, Em. Oh my God.
I
Wow.
keep a running list through the year of just like stuff that gets released. So I think I have, oh my gosh, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, wow. I have more than I thought that are like going to be on the list. My top has changed, and I'm very surprised at that. Because going in, I was like, okay, I think I know, because what I thought was going to be my album of the year came out earlier in the year. So I was like, okay. That's it, locked in. And then another one came out that was like, oh my God, no, this is the one. So I think I have my top three more or less, but it's so hard to know. So much like good music came out this year. And then like that's not even counting EPs. There were so many good EPs and so many cool splits and oh my gosh, so many things. Like the Jetsam and Gummo split, called Assimilation is Death, is absolutely like wild. It's so good. I think the Box Cutter, Treehouse of Horror, and one other one came out. I feel bad I'm forgetting the third band, but it's very good. So much like cool stuff. It's gonna be a hard list this year, honestly. I think I'm gonna have a lot of ties. Do you have like contenders for your top right now?
Right now, my top number one is pretty much undisputed. But from like 2 to 7,
Ooh.
it's going to be a real dog fight. And then after that, I'm not sure. But I mean, honestly, I still have to review so many records that I want to review before, so I can get that, so I can have a link to them in my top 10 list. I'm just so far behind on everything. Everything, I'm so far behind. And we're so far behind on the actual work for the end of the year list. And we haven't even posted them
Oh,
in the
yeah.
writers thing at all. Oof.
That's true. Whoops. It'll all get done though. It'll take time, but it'll get done and it'll be good.
Yes,
You
it will,
know,
indeed.
there's time for everything somehow. You appeal to the universe and you're like, "Hey, please give me some more time." And then if,
Well, as they say,
yeah.
to everything there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to reap. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to laugh and a time to weep. To everything, turn, 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 and turn that dial to next week because we'll see you then later on.